Hey, friends. Thank you for joining me today on By His Grace for episode 10. My name is Misty Phillip, and I'm glad you're here. Today, I have a special treat for you. My guest, Lauren Birchmeyer, shares how God has transformed her life from grief to grace. But before we get into this episode, I want to share with you what I'm working on behind the scenes. I just finished writing a Bible study called The Struggle is Real, But So is God. It is a 6-week in-depth study for overcomers. Make sure you are following me on social media and mistyphillip.com for updates. Now, welcome my guest, Lauren Birchmeyer.
Hello. Lauren, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking time to share your story here on the By His Grace podcast. And what I've been doing here is talking to people about their stories, their struggles, the difficulties from all kinds of struggles. And where I want to focus those struggles is on God, how God's seen you through, and His grace. And so I know you've been through a lot, and so we're just going to jump right in. And why don't you share your story with us?
Well, it started, I am not a stranger to struggles or grief. In 2009, I lost my father suddenly to pancreatic cancer. We didn't know he had it.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. So we only found out 2 weeks before he passed and didn't really have time to say goodbye as he was in and out of consciousness. You know, I was 25 years old at the time. So my dad missed out on a lot of my life events. You know, he didn't see me married and see me meet my husband or, you know, he wouldn't know my children.
I know. My dad died very suddenly when I was 21 and you know, having your wedding without your daddy is really hard. And so I understand that pain.
I mean, I was able to incorporate him in the wedding many beautiful different ways. So I enjoyed being able to remember him, and it was, you know, still you know, it was just a way to remember him, and even though he wasn't there, he was there. So you know, that's what we did. And the next year, you know, I called it my dark period. I was, you know, of course, in grief, and it led to a lot of anxiety because I was fearful of the next bad thing to happen. You know, then there were some other things that occurred in my life, a friendship that ended right then, and some things with my job. And it just seemed it was always all at once. It's usual how life is. I did cling to God during that, and he definitely provided me with friends and family who got me through my dad's passing. But it was something that just, like, I held on to the grief up until, you know, most recently. But from there, you know, I met my husband, and it was this, you know, joy, you know, after a year of sadness, you know, I met this man who reminded me in some ways of my dad, all these, the good qualities.
They always say you marry your dad, right? for better or for worse.
That's right. But he even would say things my dad did, you know, things that it wasn't a common saying. So I just saw that as a God sign that, you know, you've met this man that has these qualities of your father that you honored, and, you know, see it in my husband. Not all of it, but some things. And things were wonderful, and I was going to marry this man, and I loved him, and he was perfect in every way, except I found out he was an alcoholic. And, you know, then it was like, really? Why'd you have me meet a guy and he's an alcoholic? You know, the next 2 years, 2.5 years were, you know, a pattern of, you know, sobriety and relapse. And during one point of sobriety, I thought we, you know, had, you know, I thought it was solved. You know, I've come to find an addiction, that's not how it quite works. We did get married. You know, I was excited to be married. And 3 months into our marriage, I found out my husband was drunk again. And, you know, I knew the signs, the look in the eyes and those types of things. I mean, he was never belligerent drunk. He was not angry drunk or, of course, abusive. None of those things. He was still my husband. He just was more complacent type. Sometimes in the beginning, I couldn't even tell he was drunk. You know, because he was so good, you know, he was good at hiding it or could hold so much liquor. And from there, then, it was March, you know, March 5th of, this was 2013 now, and it was the last day he drank. I kind of was like, you're either going to rehab or counseling, and I don't care if you don't like it. I had to give I was a bit stubborn. And, but during all the time before we got married, I always prayed to God, like, do you want me with this man? You know, I love him, but if you don't want me with him, then you have to let me know this. And I always felt peace that I was supposed to be with him despite this, you know, his addiction.
Right.
And, you know, that's why I went into marriage. I wouldn't tell anyone to just go get married to someone who you knew had an addiction or something like that.
But you had peace that that you were, that's where exactly where God wanted you.
Yes. Yeah. Even though I was like, come on, I really, after losing my dad, I was like, can we have something that goes well? But, you know, praise God, you know, my husband is now 5 years sober. So it's just been a blessing to see that and how God's worked through his addiction. And now he's used that, because Celebrate Recovery was part of my husband's story, along with counseling and our associate pastor and very dear friend coming beside him and being a Christian brother to him, where he had never had that before.
Right.
And now we run a Celebrate Recovery ministry at our church.
Okay.
And,
so tell me about that. What is that? I'm not familiar with that.
Great. Celebrate Recovery is a Christian-based 12-step program.
Okay.
That came out of Saddleback Church, Rick Warren's church, and John Baker founded it. He brought this big manifesto to Rick Warren saying, here, we should do this. And he goes, yep, you're going to do it. I love hearing that story. But it's not just for addicts. It's for any hurt, habit, or hangup. Mm. And so only 33% that go to Celebrate Recovery have an addiction.
Okay.
It's for anything, grief, depression, anger, eating disorders, abuse, you know, and it's for men and women. They do then the second hour after the teaching lesson. We have open share groups, small group, and it's always, you know, all women in one group, men in another. Mm-hmm. And it's been really helpful for me and my grief and my anxiety. So I suggest it to anyone, because it's not just for addicts. It's, we all have something. We all have either a hurt, habit, or hang up.
That's right. That's right. You're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wrote a Bible study called The Struggle is Real, because we all have struggles.
Yes.
And, you know, you have, you know, you are my target audience, because it is for people who have been through multiple struggles.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus came that we would overcome.
Yes.
And that's the focus of the study. It's all about overcoming.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm doing this podcast, is just to give people hope and know that they're not alone, because we all face challenges of some hardship, some degree or another, and suffering is just part of this world today. And I know you've suffered even beyond that. So why don't you tell me what else has happened in your life?
In 2016, we became pregnant, and after a long time of trying, so it was exciting. We then found out that our daughter would have a heart defect, double outlet right ventricle. And we went through the hospital, you know, in Philadelphia, and she was born on August 12th, 2017.
That's a great hospital. We actually came from Texas to CHOP to do a surgery for our son.
We picked them because we felt they were the best with heart research, and especially with children.
Right.
And I mean, the staff there was wonderful. Our surgeon was absolutely wonderful. Sadly, though, after her second surgery, about 8 to 12 hours later, she went into sudden cardiac arrest.
Is this right after she was born?
No, I'm sorry. She was 3.5 weeks old.
3.5 weeks. Okay.
So for 2 weeks, we kind of waited out to see what their decision would be.
Right.
Because things changed after they saw her, not through my belly, but.
Right. Yeah.
yeah. Getting more tests done. And actually, they made a mold of her heart. Three out of a 3D printer, so they could get an idea, and we saw it. It was amazing.
That is,
to see, incredible. To figure out, because their hearts are like a size of a walnut.
Yeah.
So think about performing surgery on a walnut, on the intricates, you know, all the little valves. So just that amazed us and floored us that they could even, you know, attempt and try. You know, it was always told that, you know, she would come home first and then we'd come back when she was older, like 6 months old, for the surgery.
Right.
Because her type didn't seem as difficult as others. They did find that, you know, it was a little more to the left than they thought, and some other things. And so they decided that they needed to do the surgery before she left the hospital, that she could not leave the hospital.
Yeah.
Because her, you know, just all the blood was rushing to her lungs. You know, that was the heart, the heart was not pumping correctly in the correct circuit.
Yeah.
So it was going more, you know, one direction than making the, you know, the circuit. So she had her first surgery, and after that, her, blood pressure dropped dramatically, and it was elective, but they put her on an ECMO machine. And an ECMO machine does the work of the heart and lungs. So there was these two tubes in her neck called cannules, and there was this huge machine next to her, and it would pump the blood, you know, through. So that was like the hardest thing ever to see.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they decided that they would have to do another surgery to put a conduit in. They had switched the valves, but the one wasn't wide enough to, they thought it would be, but it ended up not being. So they decided to put a conduit in, like a tube, to make, you know, the path easier for blood to flow.
Yeah.
So she had the second surgery about a week after her first. So we had 2 weeks of her and enjoyed her and got to be parents, you know, in the hospital with her. And then, you know, that third week she was, you know, on a bed with many things attached to her. We couldn't really touch her. Yeah. Maybe her hand and her head. So that was hard. And, but sadly though, you know, on September the 6th, 2017, she went into sudden cardiac arrest and she passed away.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, thank you.
My heart is so tender for you.
Thank you. It's been the hardest thing. but God has shown himself, revealed himself to me in many ways. And that is what has gotten me through and actually led me to some new beginnings. you know, it's in that week after losing her, he gave me my life verse.
Tell me what your life verse is. I have to know.
It's Romans 15:13. It was like everything that I had been working on. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. And how I got it, God showed it to me three times in three ways.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I got to hear this. So tell me.
So the first time was we were home a couple days. We came back from the hospital. You know, you're in deep grief. Yes. And I was on my phone and I have this app called Abide and it has meditation prayers. Mm-hmm. And the free ones are 2 minutes and they always send it like a notification. Mm-hmm. And the notification said, do you need hope or something about that? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yes, I could use some
hope. I could use a big dose of hope about right now.
yes.
That you saw that scripture?
Yes.
Yes. And so tell me about the next time you saw the scripture, because you said you saw it three times.
Yes.
So.
So after seeing it on the app, I asked some friends to pray this prayer for me with using this verse. And about a couple of days later, we received a package from Sweet Grace Ministries. They sent it to parents who've lost an infant or a miscarriage. Mm. And it was a beautiful basket, and there was many beautiful items in there.
Tell me the name of it again.
Sweet Grace Ministries.
Sweet Grace. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is that something that's local to your
area? I believe
area?
So, yes. It's out of Chambersburg, I believe. And a fellow teacher in my building lost her twins at about 20 some weeks gestation. And so she became very involved in this ministry.
Yeah,
I think that's how they got my name, was she knew.
Yeah.
And so it was a blessing there. And so I'm kind of looking at all the items and I had to dig, you know, to the bottom. I was taking everything out. There's a cup, a teddy bear, a blanket, a CD, a Stephen Curtis Chapman CD, you know, he lost his daughter. So, so I finally get to the bottom and there's this little keychain in a package and it's the shape of a butterfly, which is like, I love butterflies. Aww. And there's some symbolism in the wings, but I turned it over and there was Romans 15:13.
Wow.
I just got chills saying it. and I just stared at it and like, I couldn't believe it, you know, cause this isn't like a popular verse that I knew of, not like Jeremiah 29:11
or,
you know, a popular verse to use in sorrow or in grief.
Right.
And I see it on the back and I just was shocked. And my husband saw me just staring at it and I showed it to him and he's like, God is speaking. And at that moment, I just felt Like he was, you know, having a personal, like, here, Lauren, you know, don't give up. Here, I'm talking to you.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, it was all the things I've been working on with the Holy Spirit and not being fearful and to have peace, you know, through my anxiety. And it was like as if he was saying, I see you doing this. Don't, you know, don't give up. Continue. That's how I felt.
Right.
And I shared with a group of my close friends in a growth group, the ladies in a group text. And I want to say maybe a few hours later or the next day, a fellow friend from that group, she was in the checkout line at the cashier at a Bible bookstore. And there was the verse on a plaque right there in front of her, like while she was in line. She didn't even look for it. Yeah.
Wow.
And so she, of course, generously bought it for me as a gift. And I have it in my living room now. And, you know, I have the verse on my phone. And I just, you know, I just love that God gave it to me.
Yes. He's relentless with his love for us, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. So that's a verse I've been clinging to and using. And people have been continuing to pray over it for me. And Mother's Day weekend was very hard for me. I kind of, the grief felt like from the beginning.
Yes.
And I saw it three times that weekend in three different ways again.
Yeah.
And I don't see it all the time.
Right.
But I saw it in three different ways. So again, he was like, I'm here. I know you're hurting right now.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Every time I'm just about to, you know, when you just had enough and you can feel like you can't go on, he always either whispers to someone to message me or text me or call me to check in.
Yes.
So he just continually has been doing that for me.
Yeah.
This past year.
Yeah, that is, that's a, incredible. And I can just tell that he just loves you so much and your husband and and wants good for you. Well, would you give to a mom who's grieving the loss of a child?
I would say it's okay to grieve. It's okay to not be okay. I would say that God is there. He's for you. He did not leave you.
Yes. And I'm going to just stop you there for just a second, because I think what you just said is so important, because in our world today, we are so busy going from one thing to the next. We have instant everything and grief is not instant. Grief is a process. And in order for us to be whole, we have to grieve. And some days we're going to be okay. And other days we're just not. And that's okay. And that's, we need to give ourselves permission to grieve. So I'm really glad that you said that, because it really is important.
Yes. I was thankful that my job gave me a medical sabbatical. And I was able to take, you know, I'm a teacher, so I was able to be off until April. And I would suggest if you can, if it's able to take Senate time, because if you don't grieve correctly, you're going to have other habits or hangups that develop if you don't handle your grief, if you don't allow yourself to grieve. You're going to have bigger things. You know, if we just put, like, if, you know, you're going to car wreck and you put, you know, duct tape on the back bumper and make a quick fix, you know, that's what we do in grief. We push it away, or we put a, you know, we slap on something and sweep it under, or we say, oh, they're in heaven, or, you know, and we say these trite comments to people and it's not helpful. We, yes, we believe that. And we know, I know where she is and I know I will see her again. But that is not always the best thing to say to someone in grief.
Absolutely. It doesn't take your pain away, even though you know that.
Yes.
So,
so, you know, I would suggest that you, you know, go to a counselor. We've been doing counseling, Christian counseling the past year. Celebrate Recovery has helped me.
And let me ask you this. What about, what was something that was said to you by a friend or something that was comforting and helpful so that someone knows? Because I think we don't know what to say when something happens to people and we open our mouth and stupid things come out.
Amen. Yes.
You know, because I know for myself too, I've gone through, lost a baby and lost many people close to me. And people, I think they react in maybe one of two ways. Sometimes they don't say anything because they don't know what to say. And you don't want to be pitied. You don't want to, And so you don't want them to avoid you. You don't want them to not say anything to you, but you don't want them to say something dumb to you either. You know, it's, you know, what would you say to a friend? Mm-hmm. Because the scriptures say that we comfort those mm-hmm. with the comfort that we have been given. So what words of encouragement would you give to someone who's lost a child?
I think the biggest thing from the friends who have been there for me, they have validated my feelings. They've cried with me. The biggest thing you can do is just be there with someone and cry with them because you don't feel alone in it. Yeah. When you see that someone else is hurting with you, not for you, but with you,
yes.
It can be healing and helpful. And, you know, my thoughts and feelings, I would text some of my other close friends and, you know, they would just, the biggest thing was when they validated me, when they mm-hmm. said, I understand, or, you know, I can see why that would hurt you, or, you know, I'm praying for you. Just listening. You don't have to have the answers. You yeah. don't have to say it's going to be okay. Don't say that.
Right.
I would say don't give up on them. Like maybe one day, because everybody deals with grief differently. Some need, some, you know, want alone time and some need to be around, but don't keep seeking them. Keep checking in right. on them, even months or weeks after.
And that's really, I think, even more important because everybody seems to be there at the, you know, at the tragedy, at the death, at the funeral.
Yes.
And it is the weeks and mm-hmm. days and months and years because it's, holidays, it's birthdays, yes. it's the celebrations that would normally be a time of joy that can be really mm-hmm. difficult. So having people in your life that can be there for you and love you through the process, I think mm-hmm. is really important.
Yes.
So I just so appreciate you sharing your story with us today. And I pray that it would bring comfort and hope to someone who's going through a loss.
Amen. Yes. Don't lose hope. It's there and God is with you and just keep seeking him in this. And I've definitely seen that.
That's great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
By his grace. I hope you've enjoyed listening and are encouraged by our guest today. I would love for you to visit my blog, mistyphillip.com, for more encouragement. You can find me on social media as Misty Philip, and I would love to connect with you there.